Well, this morning I want to talk to you about investments. And this is not a message to businessmen, but I'd like to talk to you about investments this morning. Eternal investments. The title of my message is A Question of Values. A Question of Values. And really, that's what we're talking about when we talk about investments. It's the question of what we value. The Apostle Paul makes some clear defining statements about Christian values in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If we can just turn there to begin with, 2 Corinthians 4. That's not going to be our text, but he gives some good definition here to Christian values. He's been speaking about the cross. He's been speaking about a life of suffering. He's been giving his own testimony of the trials and the difficulties that he goes through. And then in verse 16, he says these words, "For which cause we faint not, or we don't get discouraged. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen." While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul is making some statements about Christian values. And he makes this statement that there are things which you see, and there are things that you don't see. There are things which you see with the eyes in your head, and there are things that you see with the eyes of your heart. And there's a difference between the two of those. Paul calls them, the difference, temporal and eternal. The word temporal means brief and fleeting. I guess we all know that, but it's good for us just to stop and ponder that everything we have is temporal. This building is temporal. The house you live in is temporal. The money you have in your pocket is temporal. The car that you're driving, it's temporal. It is brief and it is fleeting. And you get the picture there that it's running away already. You say, well, how could it be running away already? Well, when you look at the other side and you realize that the things which are not seen are eternal, and they just keep going on and on and on and on. Well, that makes that car, you know, that rusts in 20 years fleeting away. And even our own temporal life fleeting away. The things which are seen are temporal. And the things which are not seen are eternal. In verse 17, Paul is speaking about rewards. He uses the word referencing his light afflictions, and by the way, his light afflictions were way more than anything that any of us have ever known, but he called them light afflictions, and he said these light afflictions, they work for us. They work for us. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's speaking about rewards. Eternal rewards. I looked this up and copied it down out of the Amplified Translation. And it says it this way. Beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness that never ever ceases. Paul says, these things are working for us. Something that can't even be compared. Something that can't even be calculated. Eternal. It lasts forever. And I thought about that. And my mind went to some of the things that could impress us here upon this earth. Because there are things on this earth that do impress us. But what Paul is saying here is, you can't even compare it. You go and find that which impresses you the most, and you can't even compare it to the eternal weight of glory that is to come. We're talking about investments this morning. And values. You know what we value. All of us, we have a system of value in our hearts. All of us. It may be different for each and every one of us, but we all have a system of what we count to be valuable. And Paul is saying, I've got a system of that which I count as valuable. And it's over here on the eternal side. I don't know if you ever saw a picture of the Taj Mahal, or if you even know what it is. How many of you know what the Taj Mahal is? Good, you went to school. I don't know if it's still one of the seven wonders of the world, but it used to be one of the seven wonders of the world. A man built it for his wife, and I think she died before it was finished. But it's a magnificent building. And if you were to walk in there, it would get your attention, I am sure. You would probably walk around in the building like this for a while, gazing at it all. Or I thought also, what a blessing it would be if we would have had the privilege of to stand in Solomon's temple, which was overlaid in silver and gold, worth billions of dollars. But Solomon's temple, in all the billions of dollars that were put in it to make it beautiful, and it was beautiful and it was magnificent, and yes, it was probably the wonder of the world back in Solomon's day, that temple does not compare at all to the eternal weight of glory that stands waiting for us as the people of God. Think about it. I just want to read just a couple of verses over in Revelation 21. As we're looking at investments, you know, when people invest things, they invest because they plan to get something. They invest that way. Well, God, in His love and wisdom, kind of pulls back the veil for us in the last of the book of Revelation to give us a little bit of a glimpse of what our investments might produce in the days to come. Isn't that good of God to do that? To us people who live in a temporal world and seem to be so focused on the things which we see and so affected by the things which we see. In Revelation 21 in verse 10, John says, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And its city, and this city had a wall great and high, and it had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. In verse 18, he goes on to say, in the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl. Imagine how big that pearl was. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now talk about a retirement house. Brothers and sisters, that's a retirement house. Amen? In chapter 22 and verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, sometimes people, rich people, in this land where we live, they dream of retiring, and you know, they sit back and dream, and they work and labor very hard, and many of them, you know, they imagine in their mind, well, when it's time for me to retire, I'm going to build me a house that just down at the end of the golf course, and I'll be able to look out my window and see all the beautiful green grass and the rolling hills, and I can see all the, what do they call those things that they play the golf on? The greens, and I'll be able to look out there, and everything will be beautiful, and it'll all be manicured, and I mean, it'll just look like a garden, and every day when I look outside my house, that's what I'll see, and that's where I'm going to retire. Well, brothers and sisters, God has a place where we can retire that is so much better than anything that you could ever imagine, even if you retired at the Taj Mahal. So much better than that. Talking about investments this morning. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 says it this way, and it's a staggering verse when you think about what God is saying in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. What shall it profit? There's investment. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, if he gain everything in the world, the Taj Mahal, Solomon's temple, all the gold of Solomon's temple, all the gold and silver in the Taj Mahal, all the gold that is stacked up in Fort Knox, and all the gold that is all over the whole world, what shall it profit a man if he would gain all of that? Think about it, brothers and sisters. If he would gain all of that and then lose his own soul. God puts the value of one soul higher than all of that. God puts the value of your soul higher than all of that. Turn with me now to Luke. Luke 16. I'm going to read maybe a bit of a puzzling portion of Scripture. In Luke chapter 16, just to give a little context of the flow of the chapters here, Jesus has been speaking about values. He speaks about the lost sheep in chapter 15 and how the Lord left the 99 that were safe in the fold and went out after the one lost sheep. Speaking again there of value. What is of value and what is not? Spoke about the lost coin and the dear lady who lost her coin and she spent hours searching all over in her house to find this one coin that she lost, and goes on from there and speaks about the prodigal son, you know, and how he went away from his father's house and how his father longed after him after he was gone, and he went out and lived a riotous life and an evil life and all kinds of wickedness, and finally one day he comes to himself and realizes that he went the wrong way, that he chose to live a self-centered life, and his whole life was a mess because of it. And the Bible says he came to himself. And oh, blessed is that moment when man or woman comes to themselves. Amen? What a gift from God. But he came to himself and realized that he'd gone the wrong way. But oh, when you look at the value system, you have to look at that father who's longing for his son to come back. You're looking at that father whose heart is hurting as his boy is going astray. You have to look at that father who maybe he's on the porch every day looking down the road and wondering if maybe my son will come home today. These are value systems, and of course, the portion we're going to read has to do with God and money, and it's followed with the story about the rich man and Lazarus. So God is defining value systems here in these scriptures. So in Luke chapter 16, we want to read from verse 1 down to 15. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, a manager of his goods. He had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. You may not be my steward anymore. Give an account of your stewardship. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord, the rich man, commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And we'll be just focusing on that verse after we finish reading. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust? the true riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. In other words, they knew he was talking about them. They knew that his words were cutting right to the heart of the issues in their own lives. And they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And it's interesting to see here, just a little side note, what the Pharisees, who were covetous men, what they did with this little story that he gave them. They were deriding him. They were finding fault with what he was saying. They were picking at it. They were making jokes about it. They were deriding him. But Jesus knew the heart of man, and therefore he spoke right into their heart and said, you are they who justify yourselves of what you do. It's interesting to see what rich people do with challenges about finances. It's very interesting how much justifying takes place, how much twisting and turning and theological gymnastics take place when you speak about the subject of finances. Jesus said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Oh, I'm not covetous. I have this for this reason, and I have this for this reason. But God knows your heart. And remember his final word. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Maybe you've read that verse before and wondered what Jesus was saying. You know, when you think about it, if you didn't already know that it was Jesus who said it, you would think that can't be right. That the children of this world are wiser than the children of light? That can't be right. I know that for many years I read this portion of Scripture and put a little question mark there in the margin of my Bible. Lord, what do you mean by that statement? And how does it fit together with all the rest of what you said? Jesus made the statement, didn't he? The unjust steward was commended. Why? Why was the unjust steward commended? I believe because he said in his heart, I will lay up treasures for my future. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose my stewardship. I have been found out. What am I going to do? I'm going to lay up treasures for my future. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he was thinking out ahead. And then Jesus made that statement. See there? That man? That unjust steward? He was laying up treasures for his future. Ah, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. You see, it's a matter of investment. He was thinking ahead. What Jesus is saying is, they are more consistent with their value system than the people of God are. They know about investments and they act upon them. They know about retirement and they act upon them. Ah, the children of this world, they are wiser than the children of light. The value system is different, as we already defined. We've got a value system that is temporal, and we've got a value system over here that is eternal. And there's a vast difference between the temporal and the eternal. And brothers and sisters, yes, it is a great challenge. God left us in a temporal world and challenges us to live by eternal values in this temporal world. Say, oh, that's not fair. Oh, but God's grace. God's grace. Remember, this is a proving ground. God has left us in a temporal world and challenges us to live by eternal values in this temporal world. The children of this world know their value system, and they respond with wisdom. They're wiser. They respond with wisdom to their value system. But oh, how sad it is, so many times, that the children of light, they also know their value system, but they do not respond as wisely. There are many, many applications that we can make to this sermon. I want to make a few here this morning. I think it would be good to start where Jesus did and just talk about treasures. Treasures. Turn with me just for a moment to Matthew. We're not going to expound on these verses, but I just want you to see them. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus said these words in His foundational sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Don't do it, He said, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is that way, isn't it? Even in the investment world. I mean, that guy who put $100,000, invested it in the stock market, where his treasure is, there also is his heart. And you will see him 10 times a day watching those little tickers at the stock exchange to see what his treasure is doing. His heart is there. All right, also just back to Luke and chapter 12, a couple of verses. Sorry about my voice. I've got a cold. In chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus said these words, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's a good warning to us American Christians. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I got way more than I need. What shall I do? Well, you'll tell him what he should do. What should he do? He has way more than he needs. What should he do? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Retire early. Just retire early, soul. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be which thou hast provided? And verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Pretty sobering verses, aren't they? Pretty sobering. I mean, this investment-minded American Christianity, I'm not sure if we even know what to do with those verses. So is he, like that fool, that layeth up treasures for himself. I'm going to just have it. I'm going to make it. It's going to be nice. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to retire and everything's going to be fine and we've got to have it. And is not rich toward God. Back to Luke chapter 16 now. God has an investment program like none you've ever seen. He's got an investment program like nothing you've ever seen. Isn't that right? Most will not use it, even though they be the children of light. History, church history would say that most of the children of light do not invest in God's investment program. Imagine with me this morning, maybe brothers more than sisters, imagine with me this morning if I came to your house or shared with you that I knew a place, there's a certain bank at a certain place that is giving 20% for your money. Imagine what would happen in just a few days' time. You know what would happen. It's not long ago that I heard of a certain man who was giving 8% for money. Amazing to me, everywhere I went, I heard about this man who's giving 8% for his money. I mean, it was like a buzz among the men, not just here, all kinds of places. And hey, that's not all bad. That's a value system. But God's got an investment program that is way bigger than that. It's time to line up at the bank, brothers and sisters. What would happen if all of a sudden the value of the yen dropped by 50%. Well, we know what would happen. There would be a rush to the bank to exchange yens for dollars. Amen? God's got an exchange system, brothers and sisters, that is so much better than that. And by the way, the value of unrighteous mammon is going to drop. It's only a matter of time. And it's going to drop. This financial bubble that we live in, this unrealistic bubble that we live in here in America, don't count on it just continuing on and on and on. The world's a whole lot bigger than the United States. The value of the unrighteous mammon is going to drop. It's time to get to the exchanger. I mean, if I got up here this morning and told you all the money's going to be of no value, all the paper money will be of no value tomorrow, you'd all be going to the bank. I thought about it. Consider with me. God gives me money. God gives me His money. Right? It's His. It's all His. He gives me His money. Then puts His blessing on me and gives me the power and the ability to increase it. Then He also invites me to invest it back into something that is eternal so that I can see it again when I get to glory. Now think about that. God gave it to me. It was His. And He gives it to me and says, Denny, here. Here's my money. I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to bless you while you have it in your hand. But while you have it in your hand, I'm inviting you. If you take it to the exchanger, you will see it in heaven someday. If you keep it in your hand, you won't see it over there. Imagine that. I mean, God did that for every one of us, didn't He? Right now, this very moment, I am a steward of God's money, His time, and His possessions. But there's coming a day when He's going to take away my stewardship. Right? It's mine now. The stewardship is in my hand right now. What God has given me, it's in my hand. And God is giving me the opportunity to do what I want with it. Give it away. Invest it. He's given you time. Invest it. He's given you a good mind. Invest it in eternal things. You know, people work long and hard for that retirement home. You know, out there on the golf course. And you look out and see all those beautiful things. My Bible promises me a mansion. A place to dwell. In that city that we just read about. My Bible promises me that. It's a question of values, isn't it? The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. They know their value system and they work it. I mean, they know it, they work it, and it works for them. But God's people, they also know their value system. And what I'm telling you this morning is nothing new to any of you. I'm not saying anything new. You already know that it is that the rewards that God has laid up for the faithful, they so far exceed even our imagination. That's That's not new. We already know that. That's our value system. The children of this world live and sacrifice for their earthly dreams and visions. Don't they? It becomes their meat, their sleep. It becomes their very life. Day in and day out, they consistently pursue that value system which they know. Many times they wear themselves down doing it. I've heard it said many times. Yes, he worked all his life and made $1 million. And then spent half the million repairing his worn out body that he burned out making his million. Seems like there'd be a better way to live than that. But you see, the world has their value system, and their value system drives them. And it works, and they know it works. And they work it, and they get from it. Oh, let us do likewise for God and His eternal purposes. Let us be willing to live and to sacrifice for God and for His eternal purposes. Number three, the children of this world, they give everything for an earthly cause. They give everything. You know, it's interesting to me. Almost seems like God allows it. But you know, it used to be that the communists provoked God's people. But the communists aren't anymore. Now, the Muslims are there to provoke God's people. It's almost like God allows that to be there. You know, maybe you've read some of those little quotes from the communists back in the 1950s and the 1960s. They had their value system and they gave everything to that value system. And not only that, but many of those communists looked at weak American Christianity and laughed at it because they knew you've got a value system, but you are not moving according to that value system. And they reproved the people of God. How many read some of those little articles in World Missions Total War by Ellie Maxwell? He has them in there. The communists, in all their dedication, they turn their education toward communism. They give their money for communism. They give their time for the party. They give up ease for the sake of the Communist Party. They'll even die for the sake of the Communist Party. That's a value system. But today, well, they're not there anymore. But now the Muslims are there. And you look at them, and there again you see they've got a value system, and that value system is driving them. And you look at that and you marvel that those people would die for something that isn't even real. For something that won't happen. And we have something that will happen. And we know it. But it doesn't move us. Let us do likewise for God and His kingdom. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die, oh, that's more gain yet. More gain." Number four, the children of this world, they go to war by the millions. They go to war by the millions. You know it's true. If a major war broke out, In 6 months, there will be a million volunteers in the United States Army. In 6 months' time. Those men will sacrifice high wages. They'll sacrifice their dreams. They'll give up their comforts. They'll miss their loved ones. Yea, and many of them will give up their life itself and count it an honor to do it. That's their value system. In times of war, whole nations shift gears. Whole nations. Parents gladly send their young men away. Sacrifice becomes the rule of life for the cause. And it's just an earthly war. Oh, for a million missionaries, huh? You ever think about that? You know what a million missionaries could do? Oh my. And 10 million Christians behind them giving their money sacrificially so that the million could be out there. Do you know what a million missionaries could do? See, brother, that's just idealism. Is it? Is it? Is it just idealism? World War II, after the bombs of Hiroshima and the Japanese surrendered to the United States, and in their ignorance, in their idolatrous ignorance, they thought the gods of the Americans or more powerful than the gods of Japan. We have lost and they have won. And in that context, they said, come, please come and teach us about God. Your God must be more powerful than ours. General MacArthur, and I don't know what he was or I have no idea. But General MacArthur made a plea. Send 1,000 missionaries and 1,000,000 Bibles. These people want help. Not 1,000,000. Just 1,000. Is that 0.1%? Who's a mathematician? Yeah. It's 0.1%. Not 1,000,000 missionaries, just 0.1% of 1,000,000. To Japan. They didn't go. We know they didn't go. But what Japan did, they watched us Americans and they saw our value system and they saw us responding to our value system and they followed our lead and example, and today Japan is one of the richest, wealthiest nations in the world. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Because they know their value system and they respond to it. We have an enemy. We have a kingdom to build. There are souls to save. There's a king to serve. And maybe we can even have the honor of dying for our faith. Number five, the children of this world, they give up everything to win just a gold medal. They give up everything. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, Paul speaks about that very thing. I don't know if he was speaking about the Olympics, but I don't know exactly when the Olympics started, but he was speaking about corruptible crowns and incorruptible crowns. And he was using that illustration of how the children of this world, how they train, how they labor, how they do all they can to win that race, that they might obtain a corruptible crown. And then turns that thing around and says, but we have the opportunity to obtain an incorruptible crown, one that fadeth not away. The children of this world, they give up everything to win a gold medal. Their social life changes, their free time changes, the disciplines of exercise changes them, their eating habits are changed, they get lonely sometimes, but they've got their heart set on that medal. The children of this world are wiser than the children of light. In closing, so where is the breakdown? Okay, we've been looking at this and we all know it. We acknowledge it and we say, okay, that's the way it is. I know. Where's the breakdown? Well, here's some of the issues. We are dealing with spiritual realities, not temporal realities. We're dealing with eternal realities and unseen realities, not things that you can get your hands on. That is the difference. We're called to live by faith and not by sight. And I thought about it as I was meditating this morning in the prayer room. We don't see God for who He is. We don't see Him. If we saw Him, it would move us. It would move us. Paul's life is a good example to us. He was acting on all of these levels that we have just mentioned. You know, it's good to have a biography like that to go back and look at. Because it's pretty easy to be here in America and start thinking, that's too high, that's too unrealistic, that's too high of a standard, that's too much, we can't reach that. But Paul was moving in these very realities. He had a value system and it drove him, and he was investing in the things which are eternal. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. He was filled with a knowledge of God's will. He was a slave to Christ. For him, eternal values were as clearly in focus as temporal values are to the people in this world. They drove him. Otherwise, think about it. There's no way that he could go through what he went through and then to say out of his heart, those light afflictions. Those light afflictions. There's no way that he could say that. He wasn't just saying what needed to be said. He wasn't just giving good theology. That was in his heart. He looked at those things that he went through and he said, they're light afflictions. How could he say that? He saw what was coming. He saw the investment. He saw retirement down the road. He saw a mansion. He saw a city whose builder and maker was God. He saw a beautiful river flowing down through the city. He saw the tree of life. He saw a glorious place where God was. He saw it. And it so captivated his heart that all those things that he went through, those are just light afflictions to me. I see. I see. He walked by faith. He walked in obedience. He walked in hope. And God is calling us to the same eternal choices. Colossians says it this way. Talking about the resurrection, Emmanuel. If ye then be risen with Christ, are ye? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, and by the way, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. There's the fruit of the investment. Oh, when Christ shall appear, then shall ye also appear in glory. You know, I thought about it. One of the reasons why this thing doesn't shake out the same for us is because of the law of sowing and reaping. You know the law of sowing and reaping? You sow, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and then finally then you reap. You know, if you put $1,000 in the offering plate, or sent one of your children away, not to see them again for years. If you did that, and as soon as you did it, all of a sudden, this light, this glow just started to beam out of you. You know, like Christ in the Transfiguration there? All of a sudden, you just started to glow with the glory of God. I think it'd be pretty easy to put $1,000 in the offering plate the next Sunday. What do you think? And I'm not wanting you to put $1,000 in the offering plate. This is not a plea for money this morning. But you see, it's not that way. You know, God has called us to live in a temporal world with spiritual values. And you might put that money in the offering plate and you may not even see the results of it. You may lay your life down. You may not see the results of it until you get to glory. But oh, when you get there, then you will know. Then you will know. God has a value system different than the children of this world. Oh, that God would open our eyes and help us to see. Let us walk by faith, trusting God, believing His Word, knowing all these things shall come to pass in due time. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. If ye faint not.
By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. And we could just go on and on. But there's a verse here that says these words. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They saw. Seeing Him who is invisible. They saw the eternal God. And I thought of us, and I thought of myself, and Lord, what is my value system? What do I see? Where is my treasure? Thank you, Brother Denny, for preaching the Word of God to us. I really appreciated that exposition on the unjust steward. I pondered that one. Also had some question on that. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us this morning. Be a blessing to just open it up here and have some of you share. Maybe a testimony. Maybe a confession. What do I see? What do I value? Anyone, just raise your hand. Ushers will get a microphone to you. Yes, in the back there.
I was blessed with the message. I'm not sure what the name was of this castle or this big building that Denny was talking about, but we there in New York, we live right close to the Thousand Islands there, and people built big fancy houses on these islands out there in the river. And back in the early 1900s, some man built a house there, a big castle, and it was supposed to be a prize retirement for his wife or prize vacation place. But she died before they got any use out of it. I had to think of what Denny was saying here, that this man's wife died before they got use out of it. And isn't that the way it happens? And there's a story that was also brought out. I had to think of this man that brought all this together, and Danny brought it out then, had all this fruit that he couldn't put in his barns, but he died before he got use out of it. And even if he would have gotten use out of it, how much good would that have done him, you know? How much pleasure he might have served his flesh, but there's nothing to compare with the pleasures that we can reap hereafter. Mm-hmm. And I went to this, and this man, it's kind of a tourist museum now, and there he lost courage to finish the building, and it was kind of falling down, but now they're restoring this big castle. And it's just something to a person to walk in there and think, you know, that he was building this for his own use, and he didn't get any use out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way these earthly things are. If we build on them and hoard them to ourselves, we won't get any use out of them. Might as well give them away.
That's right.
And I had to think of a saying that a person once told me, that a Christian's saying is, if we have the world's saying, if they have money, is I might as well spend it if I have it. And a Christian's saying is, I might as well share it if I got it.
Good.
Two vast differences.
Yes. I don't know who quoted this. I've heard Denny quote it before. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot. Thank you, brother. Others? hand in the center there, in the back, and one up front here on the far left, up toward the front. Raise your hand again, brother, so the usher can get the mic to you. Yes, go ahead, Joe.
This past week, this idea kind of hit our home in a very practical way. We've been trying to schedule our time. We kind of looked at how things were going in the home and realized maybe if we really analyze what we're doing and make out a schedule, that maybe we could be accomplishing the goals for God that we want to accomplish. So I was trying to make my schedule yesterday, and I had brainstormed while I was reading this book about scheduling all the things that I wanted to do, all the things that we wanted to accomplish in the family. And then I had the task of allotting it a bit of time. And I got kind of frustrated yesterday afternoon. I was like, you can't do this and have a job. That was the thought that came to my mind. I was trying to fit in my work, what I want to do with my work, and what I want to do with my family. And there came this point of decision. Which one's more important? And that's why I had myself saying, you can't do this and have a job. You know, I was thinking about, I'm supposed to work 8 hours a day or 50 hours a week or whatever. And there would either be no time to sleep or no time to work or no time to do things like spend time with my wife, spend individual time with the family, be involved in homeschooling, do some ministry. I was like, well, what do I do? And that kind of practical decision, it was something I had to do. Well, Lord, which is more important? Where is my trust for family provision? Is it in how much work I do, or is it in you? Where is how will I accomplish some of these goals that I feel you'd have in the raising of my family? There's going to be some kind of practical sacrifice. So just thought I'd share that.
Thank you for sharing that, Brother Joe. I think maybe we should comment a bit on that or discuss that a little farther. We have a microphone over here also. Go ahead, brother.
We sometimes get the feeling that we're going to miss something. But can we really miss something if we're in the will of God? Jesus' words to Peter's question is after the encounter with that rich young man. Peter said, we've left everything, so what do we get? And Jesus did not challenge his statement. They had left everything. But his words just astound me. He said, you who have followed me in the resurrection will sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I don't know what that is, but I know it's something bigger than any of us have ever imagined. Mm-hmm. And, just in little things, we feel like, oh, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something. Can we miss something? Every issue, this is kind of turning a corner here, every issue that we face, every question that comes to us, I think is real simple. Just hear what Jesus said and do it. And if we do that, we will find ourselves beyond our capability. We will find ourselves where we have to grow in faith. And, faith really is a thing that makes the difference here. It's like God has given us a whole life and put us here in the road to Celestial City goes through Vanity Fair. That's not by accident. It's like, will we see what's real, or will we be enticed with all the things around us? And the thing that makes the difference is faith. Because faith makes that spiritual realm real. Faith makes God real. Faith makes the next life real. And I think the answer to get faith is real simple. Just do what Jesus said. Just look at these sayings we heard today. Do what he said. He said, two men build a house. One on the sand, one on the rock. And those houses look very much the same. But there was something different about them. And the difference was those that heard and did. I feel like I really didn't quite convey what I'm feeling today about this. But let's value faith. I mean, God brings things into our life to give us faith. Faith is what links us to God. Faith is what makes it real. So that's where we put our value. It's, we value faith, we're really valuing God.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. A right view with a proper understanding of the value system. I'm not claiming that I have it. I need to grow so much. But God gives us a possibility to take money, unrighteous mammon, and turn it into eternal value. He does. And we must see that properly, or we can become frustrated. I despise this stuff. I hate it. I have to go to work again. If I only didn't have to work, then I could be a real Christian. Then I could be a real godly father. Then I could. But God has us in that period of time. And I think of what He said to the children of Israel. What did He say to them? He's led them through these things and these tests to prove them whether they will love Him. And I say we are very much in the same stage right now. God is allowing us to go through this American life. Some people have different experiences, but to prove us whether we will love Him above all these other things, and we will use these things, we will be possessors as though we possessed not, says in Corinthians. We'll be married as though we weren't even married. But yet we of course take care of that marriage, we value it, but life is so short. And we have that eternal value system, and we possess as though we possess not. We use this world, but not abusing it. But because we see a higher eternal purpose. So there's reason for money. There's reason for food in the cellar. Because it's so we can give to those that have need. You know, is that watering this message down? I hope not. I want to be challenged to the core. I want to live more sacrificially. You know, and like Brother Denny shared, the armies of the world, you know, the people are willing to suffer, to give up, and to lay their lives down and go off, leave their families to serve in an earthly war. What am I willing to leave for Jesus? Have I left all for Him to serve Jesus? There's a hand up here in the middle. They left their nets and they went, and Jesus made them fishers of men. Yes. Brother Daniel.
I just want to point to the scripture where it says the treasure hid in the field. It says, who for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath.
Yes.
Good. For that treasure. It's because he sees that it's actually worth more. And this must be, I mean, if we see it right, we are going to see that we get to.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Daniel. That's good. Others, raise your hand. If you have something to share, God is laying on your heart. Right there in the center. Go ahead, Tim.
I was just looking at the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and just thinking about the fact that very often there's opportunities right at our doorstep that we need to be careful not to miss those. Just thinking, you know, all our neighbors, sometimes just a little word. I really appreciated what Jeremy shared this morning. You know, just that little deed of kindness can sometimes that can have eternal effects on someone's soul. And I think that's what the illustration of the rich man and Lazarus is there for. They're all around us. And I was just very encouraged and challenged to be ready and watching for those opportunities to share with others. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. With what we were challenged in this morning and what God is speaking to our hearts, there is the unreached. There is those people that have not heard. And there is a cause. There is a call to go and to leave all and forsake all. And like the missionaries in days gone by, packed their belongings in their coffin and went. No looking back. So we don't just want to, you know, miss that and say, well, if I just share a little something here. God is laying his finger on some of our hearts to go also out there. But we must also recognize this is also a mission field here. And I'm also a missionary here. Others, want to share before we close here this morning? Oh, Lord. Yes, on the sister's side. Thank you.
I was really blessed just to refocus and I know from experience it's a key to keep from fainting in the labor. And the one of my favorite scriptures came to my mind in Psalms 84. It said, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." And it goes on to say how when we go through the valley of weeping, or we can make it a spring, and we go from strength to strength. It's his strength. And I've experienced that we can so easily get into a frustrated mode of not accomplishing everything. But if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then it's going to not produce the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, sister. Right here in the center, Brother Robert, behind you. Thank you.
Years ago, I was staying at my parents' house for a visit for a week or so, and on the television one night they had a documentary where they went to a quote Christian amusement park, and in this documentary they showed people sliding down slides and water slides and merry-go-rounds and all kinds of amusement rides. And the man said something like, "In days gone by, Christians used to look to the sweet by and by for their time of fun," or I forget how he put it, but he said, "Not so now." This is probably 1987 or something. He said, "Now they believe that they should enjoy this life just as much as the hereafter." And what an awful thing it was as I sat there and saw that and realized the terrible testimony that it was to these unbelieving people. But here they looked on and they said, you're not living consistently with your stated beliefs, right? And so this, you know, this also touches the area of what we do with our time and what we do with our vacation and so forth. And I think that's a challenge to us that we need to look at. We take a vacation, we go camping, we do things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that you can just do a little bit more and a little bit more. It just kind of grows on you. And time is one of our greatest treasures.
Yes.
And I think the world looks on us and we are a separated people in many ways. As they see our the way we dress, especially, and things like that. But this area of money is probably my greatest challenge. And I think it's our greatest challenge as a group. Let's not comfort ourselves that we're separated because we dress different, but let's look at this one too.
Amen.
And realize this is every bit, if not more important. So Lord, help us.
That's right, Brother Paul. Thank you for sharing that. You know, Brother Joe, it's good to have those wrestlings. It's good to look at those things and to cry out to God, Lord, how can I balance all of these things in proper, righteous life? And so God bless you. You know, thank you for sharing your heart in that, you know, those groanings and that desire and those longings. Lord, give you wisdom in that. We all need that. God forbid if we don't have any struggle. You know, so thank you for sharing that. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.